الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الحسن ريحانتي من الدنيا. صلوات. Congratulations to all of you, respectable brothers and sisters, and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat in the world, as we are celebrating tonight the arrival, the birth of our second Imam, Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam Hassan is the Imam who had an age of 47 years, 30 years with his father, 70 years with the Holy Prophet, 30 years with his father, under the imamate of his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and last 10 years of his life in his own leadership and commandership. And his alqab and titles are several, including Sayyid and Sibt and Amin and Hujjat and Bar and Naqi and Zaki and Zahid. And the most famous of all is the one that you all know, is Al-Mujtaba. So, at the time of the birth of Imam Hassan alayhi salam in the third Hijrah, we find Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayhi had narrated that Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi had said to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that give a name to him, talking about Imam Hassan. That means assign a name to him. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, I will not take a lead in naming him over the Rasul, over the Messenger. So Imam Ali alayhi salam he came into the presence of Rasulullah, and Prophet asked him that, did you name him? And he said, I'm not going to take lead over you. And Prophet said, I'm not going to take lead over Allah. So, and that's where Muhaddis Qummi has narrated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his revelation through Jibreel on the Holy Prophet, saying salam on him and giving him the tabriq and congratulations, and saying that since Ali towards you is is on the manzilat and the status of Harun towards Musa. So name him with the name of Harun's son. And we know the name of Hazrat Harun's elder son was Shabbar in Hebrew, which the meaning of that is Hassan in Arabic. And that's the reason why the Holy Prophet then named him with the name of Hassan. Imam Hassan alayhi salam is the first happiness in the house of Hazrat Zahra. This is the first happiness in her house. This is the first biggest happiness of her house. Arrival of a child who is going to be the commander-in-chief of the entire universe and Khalifa of Allah and mazhar and reflection of every single name and attribute of Allah without exception. Keeping in mind that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was the mazhar and reflection of only two names among the Isma A'zam, the great names of Allah. And Imam Hassan is the mazhar of all the names. So now you can imagine the greatness of the child who Imam Ali alayhi salam describes in his narration, that from the head towards the chest of Imam Hassan, he was similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So we understand in the light of that narration that basically Imam Hussain alayhi salam was the most resembling person from his head up till his chest in his appearance towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's the one who Abu Huraira had narrated that whenever I used to look at Hassan alayhi salam, I used to start crying. Because I remember myself, I saw the Holy Prophet, that I saw the Holy Prophet was there, and Imam Hassan alayhi salam was a kid, and he was a kid and he came towards his grandfather, and Prophet basically took him into his lap and said it three times, "Oh my Lord, I love him and I love the one who loves him." And also Abu Huraira has narrated that, so this narration, this incident has been narrated so many times by so many narrators, but I am telling you the narration of Abu Huraira, that he says that Hassanain alayhum assalam used to come on the back of Rasulullah in the Masjid al-Nabi, while Prophet is doing his sajda, and Prophet is dealing with them with lutf and mudarat, you know, with extreme high level of mercy and love, and is not taking them off his back. And finally, when he raises his head from the sajda and he goes back to the second sajda, then both of them again go on top of the back of Rasulullah again. So it's a constant practice, a constant practice, not just once. It didn't happen once in the history. You know, we have abundant narrators telling the similar story in various words. And these are what Abu Huraira have said. So, and when Prophet went to the second sajda, you know, they both of them, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain, again went on top of his back. And finally, when he was done with his prayers, what he did is that he made one of those two children sit on his right thigh, the other one to sit on his left, and that's where he said that, you know, whoever loves me has to love my two children. So we understand this is not an emotional remark. Let's be very clear. We have not no emotional things in Islam. These are not emotional remarks from a father or grandfather towards his grandchildren. Not at all. Every father loves their children. Every mother loves her children. Isn't that right? Every grandfather, grandparents love their children. That's natural. But this is not what we are talking right now, which every other grandfather does the same thing. We are talking about the love of a personality whose love and hate and hub and bugh and tawalli and tabarri is restricted entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means he loves nothing and no one other than what Allah loves. And he hates nobody and no one other than what Allah hates. When we are dealing with a person like that, of that policy of life, and then he says that, you know, whoever wants to love me has to love my children. That's a prerequisite for the love of Rasulullah. You cannot claim that I love Rasulullah unless you are crossed past this level that you already proved before him that I love the walayat of Hasan ibn Ali and Hussein ibn Ali alayhim as-salam. This is not an emotional remark. So he's talking about the walayat of Imam Hassan. You know, he's talking about the walayat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he talks about that. You know, so love and the wilayat of Imam Hassan and the walayat, both. So this love is the prerequisite. Loving the Imams is the sign and prerequisite for loving the Risalat of Allah. And loving the Risalat of Allah is the sign and a prerequisite for you to claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is not ready to accept your claim of love if you betray towards the Risalat of Rasulullah. And likewise, Allah and His Messenger are not ready to accept your claim of love towards Ahlul Bayt if you have a betrayal or khiyanat towards the walayat of these Imams. So it's not emotional, it's about our responsibility. So he's making the entire ummah recall, remind their responsibility towards their walayat. Don't betray them. And also we find that Ibn Shahr Ashub rahmatullah alayh, Sahib al-Manaqib, one of the mother books of Manaqib and Fada'il in Islam, Manaqib Ali Abi Talib, that's the name of his book in four volumes. So Ibn Shahr Ashub, the author, he says that Prophet used to basically protect Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam with these two surahs, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, and do the ta'weez towards Hassanain alayhi salam with these two surahs, and that's the reason why we call these two surahs as Mu'awwadhatain in Arabic. So they are called Mu'awwadhatain because Prophet used to do the ta'weez of Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam in order to protect them through these two surahs of Holy Quran. So Prophet's priority is to protect the walayat of Imam Hassan, and Prophet's priority is to protect the walayat of Imam Hussein. Also, we find that in the narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he says that Paradise said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that lima ja'altani maskana al-du'afa wal-masakeen. Why did you make me the residence of the weak and destitute? All the people in the paradise are weak, weakened masses in the world. Those who used to be mustaz'af and weak and la'if and maskeen and poor. So why did you make me the residence of du'afa and masakeen? And Allah, Prophet says that Allah replied back to the paradise that, are you not pleased that I have decorated your pillars with Hassan and Hussein? And after listening to that response, the paradise got happy. So Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan alayhimussalam are the zenith and decoration, a means of adornment for the paradise. And it is important to remember, I won't take much time of yours, it is very important to remember as we are commemorating Imam Hassan's birthday. After the shahadat of his great father, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he went on the mimbar, he went on addressing the people in Kufa. And that was the, you know, that was the 21st of Ramadan, the day of the 21st of Ramadan. This is the night of Shahadat of Amir Mumin al-Islam, isn't that right? So in the daytime, after Imam Ali is gone, in the daytime, and that was a Friday in that year, when Imam Hassan is delivering the sermon on 21st of Ramadan, it was a Friday. So he started to deliver a very eloquent and great masterpiece of Islamic history. I wish we sometime have that much opportunity to discuss that sermon in detail in front of all of you, inshallah. So Imam Hassan delivered a sermon on 21st of Ramadan on a Friday, and which is a long sermon, and I'm paraphrasing in my own words this summary of that. He said to the people that we are the Hizbullah who are Ghalib, who overwhelms, you know, فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Hizbullah is considered in Islam to be the party of God, is considered in Islam to be anyone who belongs to the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's be also very clear that in Islam there are only two parties available, two choices given to the humankind to choose from. There's no third choice. The human beings can either join the party of Allah and become part of the Hizb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if they fail to join, if they don't want to join the party that belongs to Allah, then the only other option available on the table is to be part of Hizb al-Shaytan. There is no third choice given by the Holy Quran to any human being on the planet. So there are only two choices. So Imam Hassan is now introducing himself to the crowd. And remember, this is the crowd which played the worst role towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is the crowd which, this is generally speaking, this is the crowd which, these are the people of Kufa, you know, who betrayed Imam Ali alayhi salam, who did khiyanat towards his walayat, who gave him the hardest possible time, make him frustrated, make him fed up, made him pray against, you know, so much that he ended up saying that I wish I had never known you. Imam Ali is praying to Allah, in other words, is wishing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I wish I never knew you in my life, in other words. So much frustrated, you know, that's the highest level you can, you know, to a Muslim you can say, you know, I don't even want to know you, who you are. I have no relation with you. And I don't want to even get along with you. Ahl al-shiqaq wa al-nifaq. These are the kafiya. This is the kafiya which is used in Nahj al-Balagha towards these people. Ahl al-shiqaq and Ahl al-nifaq. So that's how the people were, you know, ready to do khiyanat towards the Imam of Haqq with excuses and ta'wilat and tawjihat. And whereas, if you compare the people of Iraq in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen and you go towards Sham, the people supporting Muawiyah, their arch enemy of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and Islam, the people compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So the people in Sham are the ones who are subject to the fake propaganda of Muawiyah's propaganda machine, supporting the Tahut and Zalim, you know, staying silent, not just silent, but actually supporting the openly committed crimes of Muawiyah, who used to drink alcohol, gamble openly, wear silk clothes, have extremely high level of friendly relations with the Kuffar, and purchase the poison from the King of Rome, finally to poison Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam by paying 100,000 dirhams to the King of Rome. This is Muawiyah. And we find when one of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam happened to travel for some personal reason to Sham, and his she camel was stolen by one of the supporters of Muawiyah in Damascus, and he goes to appeal against Muawiyah that, you know, you have to set my camel free from this guy which belongs to your side. And Muawiyah brings 40 persons as false witnesses to bear witness that this is a male camel. And all those 40 people came and they bear witness that this is a jamal, this is a male camel. And then this guy, the owner, said, actually it's not a male camel. You guys are, it, your lie is, your kizb is so obvious, your witness is so batil, that you are witnessing in front of the ruler that this is a male camel, and you all are witnesses that this male camel belongs to the thief. This is actually not a male camel, it's a she camel. And they got embarrassed, all of them got embarrassed. But then Muawiyah said, go and tell Ali ibn Abi Talib on that side that I have 100,000 that type of stupid people standing behind me against him. So this is Sham, apples to apples and oranges to oranges. And this is Amir al-Mu'mineen's people of Iraq, ready to do khiyanat and baghawat and rebellion and ta'wilat and tawjihat and shiqaq and nifaq. And now finally that Amir al-Mu'mineen got shaheed, you know, 100,000 dirhams paid to the King of Rome to buy the poison, you know, given to, for the killing of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. This is what Muawiyah did. For to Ju'da bint Ash'as bin Qais, who was Ash'as bin Qais, who was the head of Munafiqeen in Kufa. So now that Imam Hassan is delivering the sermon, so he introduces to the same city. He is now introducing himself in front. Look at the tone of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Look at what has, it shows how much pain he has been suffering along with his dad from these people. What he has gone through, look at his words. And you realize how painful it was for Imam Hassan to be in this type of people. He says, we are the Hezbollah. Imam Hassan says to the people of Iraq, we are the Hezbollah. So our, first of all, this statement itself is enough to understand that we are going to overwhelm. No power can overwhelm us. This is proven. فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. So that's first of all. Remember what the Prophet has already said in one of his hadiths, that نَحْنُ بَنُوا عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ, we the children of Abdul Muttalib, مَا أَعْدَانَ بَيْتٌ إِلَّا وَقَدْ خَرِبَ, there is no household that took us as their enemy except that the house got devastated. وَلَا أَعْوَانَ كَلْبٌ, and there is no dog that barked upon us, إِلَّا وَقَدْ جَرِبَ, except that the dog ended up in the illness. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُصَدِّقْ فَلْيُجَرِّبْ, and whoever doesn't certify, that means whoever doesn't certify what the Prophet is saying, فَلْيُجَرِّبْ, you also do it, try doing it, experience it, that means you also do it and you will see what happens to you. Try holding the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to be your enemy and see what happens to you. So they don't care about how many people support them to begin with. We stand in need of them. If we hold them as our enemies, we are the losers and we will get devastated and we will land in the hell and we will devastate our life in this dunya as well as the akhirat. Nothing khasara dunya wal akhirah. So he says, we are the itrat of Rasulullah, in other words. And that he had, in the hadith, riwayat of Saqalain, the Prophet had mentioned us next to the Quran. And the mubayyin of Quran, the explainers of, we are the ones who explain the Quran. That means if you want to understand the explanation, you got to turn to them. And we are the supporters of Islam. And we are the ones who have the knowledge of ta'wil and tanzeel of Quran, the hidden meanings of the words and the apparent meanings of the Quran. Ta'wil means the ma'na al-batini, the hidden meaning, and tanzeel means al-ma'na al-zahiri, the apparent meaning. So we are the scholars of the ta'wil and tanzeel of Quran. And we are the ones whom the Quran considers to be ma'soom and mutahhar. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. All of you must obey us, Imam Fazl says, because the Quran has said, has commanded you to do that. He says, he recited the verse of Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 59, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. He said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. So أُولِي الْأَمْرِ are, of course, أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. So Quran, Allah has commanded you guys to obey us. So we are the ones and he said, in this night, a man departed this world, departed the world which in the earlier generations, there is no one who did who took any lead over him. He's talking about his father, Imam Ali alayhi salam. In this night, that man has departed the world that in earlier generations, no one had took a lead over him. That means all the rest of the prophets other than Rasulullah are not a comparison with his azamat and greatness. Even none of the prophets are his comparison other than Rasulullah, who is superior, of course, then the rest of the people is no need to mention. So he had taken the lead on all, in other words. And and also whenever Prophet used to he used to do jihad with Rasulullah and was sacrificing, and whenever Prophet used to send him with his flag on his right hand side, Jibreel used to be present, and on his left hand side Mikael used to be present. He's talking about his father in front of the people who betrayed him. So these are just slaps on the face of those masses who still did not realize the azamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and the azamat of his, wasi and khalifa and vicegerent Imam Hassan alayhi salam. I'm talking about the general public of Kufa. Of course, there are some good people always. We are not talking about the good ones, the muttaqeen and salihin, who are in very less minority. Whenever Prophet used to send him for a battle, he never came back without victory. And he departed this world in the same night when Prophet Isa was taken up, lifted up by Allah towards the heaven. And he departed this world in the same night when Yusha bin Nun, Joshua, who was the wasi and khalifa of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, departed on the same night. So Hazrat Yusha bin Nun was the deputy after the rihlat and death of Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. So please remember that Hazrat Harun alayhi salam departed this world in the life of Hazrat Musa. And then the second deputy which was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Hazrat Musa was Yusha bin Nun. So he was the one who survived after Prophet Musa. And that's what Imam Hassan is saying, about his father that he departed this world on the same night when Yusha bin Nun departed this world. And he said that we are the ones whose love is made wajib on the people. In the verse of Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 83, where Allah says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say, I don't ask any reward upon that except the love of Qurba. Qurba are the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah. So we are the ones who are whose love has been considered by Holy Quran as Hasana. And that Imam Hasan recited another verse of Holy Quran from Surah Ash-Shura, verse 23, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نُزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا. Whoever performs a good deed, we shall enhance him in the goodness. And this word Hasana in the ayat is the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So whosoever performs the love of Ahlul Bayt in the true sense of the word, Allah is going to increase in his goodness. This is something which Allah loves. Which I always say in my speeches, every time I talk about love, I say that as a fariza in duty, that the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam does not combine with supporting any tahut or any zalim or any inclination in our hearts towards any zalim. Wala Quran has said, wala tarkanu ila alladhina zalamu fatamassakum an-nar. Don't get inclined towards those who did zulm. Otherwise, what's going to happen? We learn in light of the ayat, the fire is going to grab us. The moment we get inclined towards tahut and zalim, the same moment, or anybody who did zulm towards zalimeen, the fire grabs us. So we land in the hellfire's flames. So one man interrupted Imam Hasan alayhi salam during his khutbah, and this is extremely condemned in ilm al-akhlaq, that you interrupt somebody. And that has been happening over and over again. The same happened to his father when he was delivering the sermon of Khutbah Shikshikiyya, the most famous sermon of Nahj al-Balagha, sermon number 3. And a similar thing happened to Imam Hasan. So he was interrupted in the middle. And when Imam Hasan said the statement that if Allah wishes, he can convert Iraq into Syria for us, and he can convert Syria into Iraq. And he can convert a man into a woman, and a woman into a man. So let's remember the context. Let's remember the context. Ihtimalan, the people of Iraq doing khiyanat towards Amir al-Mu'mineen's walayat, betraying him and betraying Imam Hasan in his life, and forcing him to do the sulh. So we find in the hadith of Imam Hasan alayhi salam, where he has said to Muawiyah, that's narrated by the Sunni brothers in Tariq al-Kamil of Ibn al-Athir, one of the most famous historians of Islam, Ibn al-Athir in his Tariq al-Kamil, volume number 3, he says, Imam Hasan said, لو آثرت أن أقاتل أحدا من أهل القبلة لبدأت بقتالك. If I had given, in other words, decided to give preference to fight you, to fight anybody who believes in the Qibla. Ahlul Qibla means the Muslimin. Muslims are the ones who believe in the Qibla, isn't that right? So if I had given preference to start fighting against any one of the Muslims, I would have started to fight against you first, saying to Muawiyah, لو آثرت أن أقاتل أحدا من أهل القبلة لبدأت بقتالك فإني تركتك لصلاح الأمة وحقن دمائها. So I have left you, I have spared you because of the respect I hold for the blood of the Muslims. So that means your blood has no respect in my eyes. It's for the sake of the blood of the rest of the Muslim people in the community in the Ummah. That's the reason I didn't give preference to fight. Otherwise, if Imam Hassan had given preference to fight, the first person that he is going to kill is Muawiyah among the Muslims. Now, this is the same Imam Hassan whom some Muslim people come up and say, Imam Hassan is inclined towards sulh, Imam Hussein is inclined towards war. What a silly interpretation. They are not inclined towards neither war nor peace. They are inclined towards Allah. If Allah asks them to do the war, they do the war. If Allah asks them to do the peace, they do the peace for the sake of Allah. Isn't that right? They're not inclined towards peace or war. But that's how some people interpret it. Because they themselves are inclined towards avoiding their fariza of jihad. Isn't that right? So you pick and choose things that are suitable to your lifestyle in this dunya, and you basically impose it on the panoramic view of Ahlul Bayt Sirat without considering the whole panoramic view. You impose your personal policy over Ahlul Bayt and use their name as a dira, as a shield to justify your evil policy. That's what some of the Shias and some of the Muslimin are doing. In the name of Imam Hassan, they are doing the khiyanat. Even today, towards their fariza against the Tahut, use the name of Imam Hassan and sit home. Where Imam Hassan says, he says what I just mentioned to you. So we find that 10 years of his imamate, so this Iraq, Allah can convert this Iraq with this situation, doing khiyanat with the Imam of Haqq, and tafarruq and division that they had, despite the fact their leader belongs to Haqq, but they are still divided, not following him, everybody following his own opinion, isn't that right? And Imam asked him to go for war, and they furnished excuses for winter time. Even in the winter time, they furnished excuses for winter. In the summer time, they furnished excuses very hot. Furnishing excuses after excuses after excuses, giving the hard time to the leader, not obeying at the end of the day. Whereas the Muawiyah's army, did they stop fighting and waging war against Imam Ali throughout their duration of their rule and empire? When did Muawiyah stop? Exactly the same situation that you find even today, The same situation. History always repeats itself by the change of characters. The characters are changed. There are different people playing the same roles, but history is always repeated. Even today, the warmongers are going to wars after wars after wars in the name of freedoms and democracy and democratizing. Isn't that right? So Imam Hassan alayhi salam went out to fight against Muawiyah's tyranny and zulm, because there is no room in Islam to accept the zulm, and 95% plus of his army betrayed him, of his own followers. 95% plus of his own followers. When you talk about Imam Hassan did the sulh, please also add this sentence always after the sentence that you say he did the sulh. Please always add this sentence. He was forced to do the sulh because 95% plus of his followers betrayed him. That's the full answer. Telling the people incomplete information about Ahlul Bayt is also khiyanat. Imam Hussain did the sulh. Why don't you say he was forced to do the sulh? So let's not force the Imam of our time to do the same thing, to make choose the same options because of our betrayals. So we find, if Allah wished, Allah would have dumped these people, converted them into the ones who obey. Allah can convert Iraq into Sham if He wishes, and Sham into Iraq. Isn't that right? Sham, people of Ma'siyat, leader of Batil, but complete obedience. This is the profile of Sham. Profile of Iraq, people who are praying and fasting and hijab and this and that, and all the rulings are there, but khiyanat towards the wali. Profile with the profile, compare. Now Imam Hassan says, if Allah wishes, Allah can convert Iraq into Sham. enchantment. But if Allah does that, you know, He converts all these people and replaces them with those people, then where is the Jannat and Jahannam and the Sawab and Iqab and the test and fitna and imtihan? When Allah does that, just like the animals have no choice except to obey Allah, then there is no Jannat for the animals, isn't that right? This is our test, that we ourselves make a change in our mawqif. Ya ashbah al-rijal wala rijal. Isn't that Nahjul Balagha? Imam Ali says, in Iraq, those who are resemble the women, the men, but you are not men. Ya ashbah al-rijal wala rijal. So, we are the ones whom Quran has considered our love to be hasana. So we find, the time is not that much. Before I end my speech, as usual, I would like to mention four hadiths from Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So we could do tabarruk, we get the barakat from what he had said in this night that belongs to him. First of all, he says, لَا تُعَاجِلْ الزَّنْبَ بِالْعُقُوبَةِ وَاجْعَلْ بَيْنَهُمَا لِلْإِعْتِذَارِ طَرِيقًا. Such a beautiful hadith, you know. You enjoy it when you read the statement of Imam Hassan al-Islam. You enjoy the greatness of his wisdom. Prophet has said in his hadith already, لَوْ كَانَ الْأَقْلُ رَجُلًا لَكَانَ الْحَسَنِ. If an aql, an intellect, was a human, it would have been Hassan. So Imam Hassan al-Islam is al-aql al-mujassam, is aql personified. From top to bottom, he's full of wisdom and intellect. So Imam Hassan says, La tu'ajil al-zamba bil-uquba. That means when you are punishing somebody, in the light of this hadith, you understand, when you are punishing somebody over a sin, give a margin. Don't make haste. Don't be quick in your punishment. That means provide a gap. Provide a margin. وَجْعَلْ بَيْنَهُمَا لِلْإِعْتِذَارِ طَرِيقًا. That means make between the two, that means between the sin and the punishment, give a margin, a break, a cushion for i'tizar, for seeking forgiveness. So basically, don't shut the door of forgiveness. Allow the guy to at least give him some break, give him some time. Maybe he comes back and he apologizes. So don't make haste. Don't be quick in punishing somebody over a crime. Such a beautiful, you know, this is how Imam Hassan al-Islam, this is one of the signs how he is the mazhar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who doesn't make haste in punishing the criminals. So, Al-Mumahil, one of the names that we read in Dua Jawsan al-Kabir is Al-Mumahil. Allah is the one who has Tamheed, Sunnatul Tamheed. Allah gives muhlat and margin. You know, He doesn't make haste. He gives muhlat and margin. So, also, Imam Hassan al-Islam has said, "Kun fi dunya bi badanika, wa fil akhirati bi qalbika." Be in the world with your body, and in the akhirat, in the hereafter, with your soul. That means we are supposed to live in this world with our bodies only, and our souls not attached to any material belongings. Instead, the soul is attached to akhirat. And the third hadith, I think I will end it here. Where somebody asked Imam Hassan alayhi salam that man khayrun nas, who is the best of all the humans? And Imam Hassan alayhi salam replied, man ashraka nasa fi aishihi. Someone who includes the people in his life. So you, whatever blessings you, in other words, we understand, you, whatever blessings and ni'mat of Allah you have, you share the ni'mat Allah gave to you with others. Whatever nimat you have, so you have skills, you have talents, you have power to speak, you teach your skills to others. You have power to write, you teach that to others. You have money, you share your money with others. You have whatever knowledges, you share your knowledge with any kind of nimat that Allah has given you in your life. You share those nimat with others. You
find some of the families, unfortunately, you find that they are some people are so rich and some people are so poor in the same one family. Isn't that right? So, this is not the sign of the best of the humans. The sign of the best of the humans is that when somebody has a ni'mat of Allah, he makes other people share the ni'mat that he has. And then the guy asked Imam Hassan alayhi salam, that who is the worst of the humans? And Imam Hassan replied, "Man la ya'ishu fi aishihi ahad." Somebody who doesn't live in his life, doesn't share nothing of his life. That means whatever blessings, in other words, we understand in light of this hadith that all those ni'mats that Allah has given to me, I'm not sharing with the rest of the people. When I'm not sharing, so nobody is benefiting from me living in this world except myself. Actually, that's not a benefit either. So, but that's the sign of the worst of all the humans. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin waqdul al-kuffar wal munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasir al-deen waqdul man qadhal al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfad wa ayyid ulama'ana al-rabbaniyin wa maraja'ana al-rabbaniyin la sayyam al-wali al-faqih qa'id al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur juyush al-muslimin wa asakir al-muwahidin. Allahumma fukka'ana al-usara'i al-muslimin. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda wa ajjil fi faraj maulana sahib al-zaman واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين.